Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Education Buzz, the Harvard Community Unit District 50's podcast series where we talk to people in and around the Harvard education scene. And today we have a special guest. Even though we're not together, we're Zoom podcasting. We're really taking it to the next level here. thanks to Guy Clark, our communications expert, is helping us. So I'm with Mr. Carl Hobbs. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. How are you virtually doing?
I virtually feel fine. Yeah, that's kind of our world, isn't it? It's it's just kind of been an amazing like 5 weeks for all this. And what we thought would be a good idea, because we're spending as much time as we can communicating about everything going on, we sure know that there are probably other ways to get to people. And because we've introduced this podcast series this year, we thought it'd be great to get you on, because many of the questions I'm getting are related to end of year high school things. And in some ways, that's the topic on everyone's mind. What's going on with prom and senior awards assembly and graduation, and all these things that are these really markers in the lives of our class of 2020 that we're worried about. So we thought we'd get you on. And but before we get to that, how are you doing with all this? This is just bizarre territory for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, actually it is. You know, if you would have said in the beginning of the year that we'd be using words like pandemic and social distancing, I would have said you're crazy. But it's actually really interesting to see how people are adjusting and we're managing our lives. And so it's been, yeah, it's been eye-opening. It's been heartwarming. It's been amazing how much we've taken for granted, you know. So, I mean, there's definitely some things that I'm appreciating because I'm missing so much. So definitely missing seeing the faces of our kids and our staff, that's for sure. So it's been an adjustment, but I've been really pleased with how people have been reaching out and working together to try to get through this. So it's been good.
How are you and your family doing?
We're doing wonderful. I mean, I think my 14-year-old is okay with not having to sit in a room with me all the time now. He's like, Dad, don't you have something to do? Don't you have a meeting or something? Come on. No, it's been good. You know, we've also discovered something that's really kind of cool. It's called the outdoors. You actually can go outside and there's fresh air out there and you can go for walks. And so,
how about that?
So we've been doing those kinds of things.
Do you have a... I can't believe I was so bored that I did this moment of our shelter in place yet?
You know, the house, we're finding there's a lot of projects that were just waiting for us. So we're experiencing right. A lot of projects that we thought we would never do, like moving every single book from one bookshelf to a whole new bookshelf. Time and painting and fixing the walls and things like that. You know, this is a 100-year-old home, so there's always something on the list that needs to get done. So
there you go.
Our house is very happy that this is going on right now.
A lot of TLC. I saw something the other day that there's a lot of pets that are worn out from so many walks, and I saw someone that somehow had attached hot air balloons to their dog, and they had to figure out how many hot air balloons they could strap to this little thing before he lifted off the air. And
oh my gosh.
It was like, I can't wait for these people to go back to work and school.
That's
it's
hilarious.
Probably true. There's all kinds of little things that are going on. So, well, talk about caring for your seniors. I think one of the things that is heartbreaking for you as principal, I'm sure, is just how to not have answers for these seniors. And we can talk about that a little bit, because we don't really know everything yet in terms of the state's timeline for either canceling the year or going back. But just talk about how you're reaching out to seniors and how you're communicating and caring for them, because that's a big part of this, I think.
I think one of the things that we need to keep in mind is, even though there's a lot of unknown uncertainty, one thing that we know is certain is that at some point we're going to have graduation. I mean, I think it's important that our students get the privilege of walking across the stage and having a diploma put in their hands, because they've earned it. One of the things I do is I put out videos and send those through our Google Classroom and things like that to try to remind students of the things that are important, reminders to take care of each other, because, I mean, obviously academics is important, but our health is even more important. So with our seniors, I think the most important message that hopefully they understand from us is that they're on the forefront of our mind. We know they didn't sign up for this. I've been in contact with a lot of seniors. I appreciate the fact a lot of them are emailing me directly and chatting about this year and some of the triumphs and tribulations that they're going through. But, you know, everything that we talk about is this. We may not have graduation on the day that it was set, but our goal is to have graduation, period.
Right.
And that means right. sometime down in the summer or in the fall, we don't know. Those are the things that are frustrating, I guess, for me is it's like, hurry up and wait. You know, we know we want to do this. Mm-hmm. But we have to wait till we get some guidance from the state. So graduation is something I don't want to do virtually. I think families deserve to see people walk across the stage, and the kids deserve to feel that and experience that. So that's one of the things that we know we're trying to plan for best as we can. Same thing with prom. We know we're not going to be able to have prom on May 1st, but our prom committee has been working with the venues, the current venue and some other venues that are local to find alternate dates that are available to do that as well. Again, that's one of those things where I know some districts have canceled prom altogether. We would like to still hold out some hope that we can go ahead and actually hold that later on. Again, it's another experience mm-hmm. that is very important for our students. So those are the kinds of things with all the uncertainty we still like to plan for. We just don't have that specific date yet, but in our mind, we still want to have them.
Right. And I think it's fair to remind everyone that that's really the frustration that we share with people wanting to know the answers is that until the state comes out and says schools will not reopen for the remainder of the year, it's hard for us to make any plans. So we're kind of stuck in this limbo land where we don't know whether we should plan things or not. And what things, if we were to come back, would we be able to do? Can we have soccer games? Can we have baseball games? There's just a lot of things we don't know. And we realize that a lot of that anxiety that people are feeling is something we wish we could resolve either one way or the other, but we just don't have that knowledge yet of what the state might do. We've seen a lot of states just recently, Pennsylvania just canceled for the rest of the year, Missouri. So states are doing that. We certainly, I think I saw the other day, 19 states have already canceled, but we're not there yet. And until we get to that point, we can't say definitively. So that's really the challenge. And we're trying to walk a fine line between some version of preparedness for if we do come back. But the reality is, I think many of us think we won't be back this year. Is that kind of how you feel right now too?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting. And I've been talking to a lot of other principals and other districts on the listserv, and we're all sharing the same exact conversation. You know, it's all about a what if. A lot of us are on the same boat as wanting to have graduation, you know, wanting to do the prom, those kinds of things. There are some things though that we're looking at that I think we can still do. Like, for example, our scholarship honors program. We can't physically have the event at the school, but there's no reason why we still can't award the scholarships and notify students that they receive those. So that's something that we're working on right now for the beginning of May. So students who applied for scholarships that are eligible for them, once those scholarships are all figured out and awarded, we'll actually be making personal phone calls and follow up with emails to those recipients. So obviously it's more fun to have the actual event with everybody in the same room, but this is one of those things where I think we still can go ahead and do the program as far as announcing the scholarship so students know what kind of awards they'll be getting.
So just to clarify that, there will be no senior awards assembly for sure, mm-hmm. But those scholarships will all be given out and awarded, so all seniors have those financial opportunities given to them just as normal, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to get it done in the beginning part of May so students know what they're getting and they can make plans.
Yep, that's helpful. It just won't be as public of a celebration. Then we'll figure out how to like share that information, obviously, because part of the enjoyment of that too was, you know, sharing that good news. So we'll figure out a way to do that. So do you find though, here's a thing that I find fascinating about all this. Obviously there's so many horrible things that are going on with this, you know, the illness and the death and the financial implications to all this, and they're just devastating. I don't even think we understand it, but there's so much creativity being sparked through all these things, the ideas of how do you do these things virtually or how do you connect with things. How are your seniors managing to kind of make the best out of this, or are they just kind of saying, I'm going to wait to see if we're going to be back? How are they reacting to this?
I think it's kind of all over the board. I mean, I think you have some students that based on the design of e-learning, it's actually a structure that works better for them. So in some cases, some of our seniors, you know, they're self-driven, they're very independent. This works better in their world because they can plan their time accordingly and they're not kind of constrained by the structure of the day. Some of the seniors I've talked to are working more hours because they can. In some places, they're in demand for workers, so they're getting paid even more money. I think some of our seniors, probably a good portion of them, are just kind of down. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, yeah. I think they could do the school side of it okay, but I think they're realizing that, you know, they're missing each other. And you know, Zoom is fine, but Zoom isn't the same as obviously being in the same room with people and kind of catching up on a regular basis, kind of that informal, you know, connection that we get every day. So, and I think some of our, I mean, there's a handful of our seniors that are really struggling with this. I mean, I think school was tough to begin with. And I think this is even tougher when you don't have the teacher right there working with you and, you know, all the supports that we take for granted that were there, you know, now they're not necessarily there at hand, and that structure isn't there. That's another piece I find is very challenging, is sometimes having that set structure, knowing that this is the time I'm going to be in this class and this is the time that I have to do this work is very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, so I know I was talking to one of our students who does very well in school, and she's like, I cannot believe how much I depended on the routine of the day. It just made my life so much more easy. So I think it's all over the place. And I also think some of our seniors are really missing their spring sports. I mean, that was, you know, this is their last time to play the spring sport. And so they're doing the best they can to stay in shape and practice their skills, you know, being hopeful that something might, you know, come from the spring sports, but that's also tough. So, I mean, it's all over the place, as you can imagine, because I think it's all over the place for a lot of people. There's some parts of this that are good, bringing some things together and realizing that there's some things that maybe we took for granted that were really powerful and impactful in our lives. And also we're finding, wow, this is a difficult, you know, process that we have to figure out how to work through it the best we can. So, but all in all, I mean, I think it's one of those things, it's just a lot of uncertainty, and that's tough for everybody. So,
yeah. So let's just kind of maybe run down some of those things that are the end of the year functions, and we can just maybe talk about those. As you said, we're looking for future dates to see if prom can be rescheduled. Is that right?
Correct. Yep.
And same with graduation. We don't know. It'd be hard to imagine a congregation of, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people in our gym in the end of May, but we'll hopefully look for a new date for that, right?
Correct, yeah.
Exactly. Senior awards assembly is postponed, but they will be getting their scholarships.
Correct.
We don't yet know about our spring sports, because that's kind of remains dependent on the governor's decision about April 30th.
Correct.
What are some other things that you're getting a lot of questions about, Carl?
Some of the questions I've gotten also from juniors is the SAT and the Illinois Science
Assessment.
That has been canceled for the spring. There hasn't been a definitive answer yet on if they're going to do that in the fall for our juniors, which will be seniors next year. So that's a conversation they're having right now. And again, that's the kind of thing, as soon as we know, we'll get that information out. But we do know that the SAT is not going to happen in the spring. I think some people, there's a sigh of relief. What? No state testing? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Mr. Hollingsworth, maybe, right?
Yeah, Mr. Hollingsworth, exactly. Interesting, though, the AP test is still on. It's going to be unique under this e-learning situation, and all the people who will be taking AP tests will be getting information, more specific information. But it's going to be interesting because it's going to be like college. It's only going to be a 45-minute test, not a three-hour test. It's going to be open book, open notes. It's going to be very unique as far as, you know, traditional AP testing. So this is actually, if you're going to take an AP test, this is the year to do it.
I really appreciate that, because that's something that has, like other things in this, a lot of financial implications. Getting that AP 3, 4, or 5 can mean saving thousands of dollars, actually. So I'm really glad that College Board has found a way to do that. It's exactly. The best year. Some of those people that were on the borderline taking AP class, they may be kicking themselves right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they're being very realistic. They're only testing up to what was prior to the pandemic. So there's nothing new after the pandemic they're going to have on the test. So, and that information is being specifically shared with all the students taking AP.
But it looks like seniors next year will have the opportunity for a free fall SAT test. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know that a lot of families count on that because there's some financial cost to take an SAT. So we can offer that to our family. So that will be good. The state's going to do that, but won't look like it is. I know that you guys had an SAT prep class that was ongoing partly too, that's been canceled too.
Correct. Yeah. And they got most of the way through it, but we already communicated out with folks that when we know the date of the new SAT, We're going to start a few weeks before that to go ahead and start doing some reminders and refresher courses and finish the practice test that we started. So that will continue once we know the date. Yes.
Yeah. Well, another issue, and I was on a call similar to you. I have kind of these network of people that I talk to, and I was on a conference call with a group of people, and it was funny because we had a really lively debate about this same topic, and we had a superintendent in Mississippi and a superintendent in Alaska who were in this, having a really interesting conversation about grading. And they really were talking about the same issue, and I know you and I have talked about this, but one of the things we found out really early in this situation was, how do we deal with grading and how do we do with the evaluation of student work and feedback on the quality of that work? Because a lot of times we think about grading as just the cause or the reason for grading is to get something in the grade book. Well, an educator might see it quite differently. Is the reason for that is feedback. So you know how they're mastering the skills that are most important for our students. And actually, you know, took a few calls from people or emails from people right away when we said, you know, it looks like there won't be an emphasis on grading of new material because we don't really understand what kids' opportunity to, you know, access the learning really looks like. And so talk about how you've waded through those waters, because I think in this situation, high school principals especially, trying to figure out valedictorian and all these things, how you've dealt with grading, because I think that's probably the most complex issue that gets people stirred up in this.
Yeah, that's been a pretty passionate issue. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head. The most important thing for me anyway, and it should be for us, is learning and feedback. And I think feedback can be more than just a grade. I mean, feedback, I can give you feedback on your progress in the areas I think you're doing well and areas I think you need to improve without having to put a score in there necessarily. I think there's a couple pieces of this. The first one is I think there's pre-pandemic and post-pandemic kind of things. I mean, so pre-pandemic, one of the things I think students need to understand is as the state mandated as far as they're asking us to do no harm, meaning that your grade should not be lowered as a result of this situation, and rightfully so. I mean, we have to be empathetic and compassionate in this time because there's a lot bigger things going on. One of the things, though, that does for us, and we've talked about this, and we're going to continue to talk about this, especially with our seniors, is that if I was a student who had, let's say, a failing grade prior to the pandemic, I could still work to get that grade up. And I could work with my teacher to find out whatever skills I was missing, quizzes I need to retake, whatever I can do to get the feedback needed to go ahead and try to improve that score. And once I improve that score should not go down. So that's something I think that's really motivating for our students to realize.
Yeah. Once
you get that grade up to passing, it shouldn't go down after that. And that's something that I think students really need to embrace and work towards during this time. This is if there's a silver lining, if you can even say that, that's one of the silver linings as far as grading goes. I think the most important thing is, as you said, we don't want to necessarily do new learning because we're not there to support those students necessarily where we normally would be to provide new learning. And we don't know everyone's individual situation, so we have to be cognizant of that. So what we're trying to do is really work through the skills and the standards that we wanted students to know and go a little bit deeper. In some ways, it's kind of nice because with the regular year, we're so busy and trying to cover so many different things. It's actually nice maybe to slow down and go a little bit deeper in some of these skills so that students can understand them and own them a little bit better. So our goal with the staff is to provide feedback to students. And if the feedback and the work can improve their grade, by all means, we want to improve their grade. If a student is not, let's say I give them an assignment, they're not understanding it, they're not grasping it, I'm going to give them opportunities to continue to grasp it and give them feedback on the areas where I need them to improve. So really now it becomes more of a communication of, this is the learning I want you to know, and this is how I want you to get the skills and learn the information I'm trying to give you. And so it's more of a feedback in that sense of the learning. In some cases, I know teachers are doing things like a check minus means a check means you did the assignment, which we're really asking all students to please stay engaged. It's very important for a lot of reasons. I think for our sanity, it's also important. I think we need to make sure that we're staying engaged to the learning and getting our brains working, but also connecting with our teachers and our classmates. That's huge. But one of the things that we want to make sure students are doing is actually at least engaging in the process. So for an example, some teachers are doing as simple as a check means that you've completed the assignment and it's all good. Thank you. You did what you needed to do. A check minus means you completed the assignment, but there's some things I still need you to work on. These are some things that are essential.
Got it.
I think you really, really should know, and I want you to know them. And so I'll give you feedback saying, you got this right. These are some things I want you to go ahead and improve on. And then maybe a check plus maybe that person that went above and beyond. Here's what I wanted you to get as a, you know, the check is proficient, but you know what? You went above and beyond and you applied this to new learning, whatever, however it works. And so a teacher can still give feedback in that sense as well. And some teachers are giving feedback through numbers as well. Again, we're just asking that the numbers don't negatively affect the student's grade.
Right. And that is challenging in some ways, because one thing that the high school, and you deserve credit for, is you've had a lot of conversations and been to a lot of professional development on grading and assessment, how to make sure that what we're talking about isn't issuing a grade that you can't evaluate. What's important is not if, whether you got an 85 or a 90, it's how, to what degree you understand what we've decided is, are the essential learnings of this class. So I think luckily you, if you think back on this, there's a lot of things that really are fascinating to me about this, is some of the things like your work to really have good and deep conversations about grading, how critical they are. And it was just, it was the right conversation to have, but this has really highlighted how important that is. And sometimes I think as a district, we've just been pretty fortunate to have plan things or prioritize things that really led us to be important. Like the, for example, the hotspots and the one-to-one computing. If we hadn't have designed our rural and low income grant to use that, we would have a lot of kids that are high and dry. And so it's just funny how things fortuitously were kind of worked out for the district to be that. So it's a good thing that many of these conversations on gradings have happened. Otherwise this might be a harder lift for you and your administrative team.
Exactly. And I think, you know, those are some things we were talking about at our last staff meeting, is can you imagine doing this if we weren't a one-to-one school district?
Wow.
So that's cool. So yep. Kudos to everybody that brought that here to the district. And I think that's, you know, I think from what the feeling I'm getting from my staff is they're realizing that this is not ideal for them. It's not ideal for our students. Right. You know, our staff has a lot of compassion. So our goal is to continue learning and not worry so much about what grade goes in the grade book, but are you getting what I think is important for you to know? And one of the examples I gave is a colleague of mine was talking about, you know, sitting in, if you had all your students sitting in your living room together and you were able to say, and your kids were able to say to you, Mr. Hobbs, between now and the end of the year, what is it do you really think I need to know? What is essential? Let's work on that. And that's kind of the conversation. So looking at what we have between now and the end of the year, what really matters the most, and how can we help these students best learn the material that we think is really important, given all the situations, given the pandemic, given the fact that we're doing everything virtually, and also having a little grace and empathy in that whole process.
And one of the things that we're starting to talk about is for the district, how do we create like a 3-week experience, either a summer school or something that we have to reteach even in the fall, to figure out what are those gaps that have been created. And I think it's a little easier to conceptualize for our younger grades. Like if you're a second grader, there's going to be things in both math and literacy probably that are going to be real gaps that we got to find a way to offer them some free summer school opportunities so that parents can encourage them to get active, and things that they would get when we get back to school in August. But it's a little harder in high school when you say, okay, wait a minute, I've got chemistry, my friend's got physics, and I'm in algebra two. They don't have math. And so you can't just say all 11th graders need to do this 3-week thing. It's kind of got to be by class. And so we're kind of fortunate too that we have a good partner in Edmentum who may be helping us design some of these things. So if we can do what you said just a bit ago, and we had everyone lined up and said, these are the essential things I want you to learn, hopefully we've got enough online resources so we can provide that to students either this spring or this summer or next fall, so that they can not have those gaps, because we know that that could be a problem, because we're trying to design our curriculum so that it builds upon itself, and there will be some gaps if we don't take time to shore those things up, I think.
Exactly. And I think also we have to look, we kind of have to prioritize those classes. There are definitely some classes that are much more sequential. And so we know if they're going into the next level of that, we're asking our teachers now to kind of start thinking about, okay, these are the things that we know we didn't get to cover. or teaching. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we front load that before the next sequential course. In some cases, it's not as important because it's not a sequential learning situation, but those courses that we know are sequential, those are the ones we're going to take priority and figure out how we could actually maybe build in some of those, fill in some of those gaps that we know that they missed, no fault of their own, obviously, but to help prepare them so that they're starting off in the fall a little bit on a better footing.
Let me ask you a different type of question, Carl, because one of the things that I think a lot of people other than just me admire about you and your leadership style is you are so genuinely concerned about your staff and your students, making them successful. And anyone that's around you knows the mantra, your success is not an accident, that they hear from you. How are you dealing with this? Because you live in an environment where you just want to make sure that all students are finding every way to be successful. And in this, not that you're trying to control the environment of a school. That sounds kind of bad or something, but you have, when you get to see them, there's more control of what's going on in the thing. How are you dealing with this idea of remote success and all those stories of kids, you know, that are working hard with a full class to graduate on time and all that? How are you holding up in this? Because your empathy and your passion for your staff and students, I think, is one of your greatest strengths.
Well, thank you. Yeah, actually, in all honesty, it's been very difficult because I'm somebody that actually kind of thrives from the relationship of people. I mean, I like the energy of people, the buzz of a building. I like the camaraderie of staff. I like the humor. I like, you know, I love the fact that the students are comfortable and talking to me as a human being, not just as a principal. And I miss that. I know, and I think there's a lot of students that feel the same way, and staff as well. I mean, I think we're just missing the energy. And I think everyone's doing the best that they can, but I know like some of the videos I do, and I'll continue to do videos. I have one coming out today as well. I know students have emailed and appreciated that. And it's one of those things that's it's kind of funny because when I do my five reminders every week about, you know, success is not an accident and so forth, you know, a lot of times I just feel that probably maybe a lot of kids just don't hear them. But it was funny because now I'm hearing kids say, well, where's the message? We're missing the five. Like, wait a minute. Yeah. You guys would always give me a hard time about saying the same things every week, and now you're on them. So it's just kind of funny. Right. Those are those little things that you may take for granted. You realize that, you know, for some of our kids, they're actually connecting. So, but I'm just missing the environment. I got into this business because of the impact that we can have on students. I know the educators in my life had a huge impact on my trajectory. So I just feel like, you know, when you're not there and you can't see them every day, I feel like I'm not providing everything that I can. So it's a struggle, to be honest. But again, I know everyone's going through a struggle as well. So that's why I always say, be kind. We don't know what people are going through every day.
Right. And I think, you described that very well, and a lot of staff would say that's what I'm going through, is that I wanted to see out the experience of these kids, and I had it all designed so that they would be a certain point upon the final day of school. And it's just such a sense of either loss or being dissatisfied with not being able to see that really satisfying end of the year experience where, you know, I was a former Spanish 1 teacher, and one of my favorite thing was at the end of the year having a rudimentary conversation with my students, knowing full well that because of how hard they worked and the opportunities in my class, that we could have that conversation because they didn't know anything prior to coming in other than Nacho Belgrande and a little bit of hola. That was it. And so to have that conversation was so rewarding. And I think that I hope people appreciate that teachers are going through a lot emotionally too, because we are all, you know, part of our profession sits inside us as our identity a little bit. And I think that's why things like grading gets hard. Like, okay, if I'm not grading, what's my role? What's my value? How do I really do that? And I think we're all trying to sort that out a little bit. And have you been hearing from staff and how they're doing too, or how are you staying in touch with your staff? Maybe that's a better question.
A variety of Zoom meetings, a lot of Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. And some basic information and emails and some videos and things like that as well. A lot of the feedback that I'm getting is interesting because in one sense, a lot of folks are happy because they're home with their kids, their family. And then one of the things that's challenging is that they're home with their kids and their family.
Right.
Because I think it's important too for students to realize that when teachers are at home teaching, they're also at home being a parent of their student who's also going through e-learning in a school or another right. school district. So it's been a real, the word balancing, I actually just had an email conversation this morning about what's the new definition for the word balance, because balancing your life and work being at home is very challenging. So our staff, it's kind of, it depends on the family situation, but I think our staff is really appreciating it, seeing e-learning from their side when they have their own children in the house going through e-learning as well as them as teachers
yeah.
teaching e-learning. So they're seeing both spectrum sides of it. So it's been actually, I think it's eye-opening. And I also think it's given them a little sense of perspective and empathy for students because they know they're teachers and they're working with their own kids to help them with e-learning. And it's a challenge. And then imagine, you know, obviously not being a teacher and working with your student through e-learning. So I think it's given them a good perspective of, you know, go gently. Into this e-learning because there's a lot of challenges to it. But I mean, I am honestly, and I'm not just saying this, I'm blessed with the phenomenal staff at the high school. I mean, we've been pushing all the years I've been here to try to follow best practice and raise the bar and, you know, do what's right by kids. And I get very little resistance because when you come from a point of truly caring about what's best for our students, it's hard to argue the why behind it, yeah. you know? So in our teachers, they really, really care about our kids. And as a principal, I mean, I can't ask for anything more. Everything else will fall in place if we have the right intention. And our intention is to make sure our students are safe, healthy, and can learn. And that's, honestly, that's what we do. And that's why we get up every day and do it.
That's good. So as we move forward in this, for anyone still with the endurance to still be listening to us, how in the world will we announce when we have made decisions about these big events and graduation? Any thoughts on how will the best way for someone to stay in tune with decisions that are being made?
I think I would like to do on some of the bigger events like the graduation and prom and those kinds of things. I mean, obviously use teacheries and emails, but I also think some of those bigger things, I wouldn't mind doing some all calls because sometimes I think if we can back it up, not only through emails, but also getting that voice and text, some people like that medium better than others. But I think if it's something, some of the big ticket items, I think we need to use all the media that we have available to us. Social media is obviously very good, but not everybody is on social media. So if we can do a multiple approach to it, I think that's important. But
good.
Yeah, but once
I think that's a concern some people have, like, did I miss it? What's going on? Because I think some people have this assumption that we're done for the rest of the year and we're really not, nor have we made any announcements to that effect. But when you're watching states near us cancel, it's like, oh, did I miss the news? What's going on? And there really isn't news. And some of us just are wishing the governor would make that decision so we could plan, but there may be some limitations to the amount of time he can make these proclamations is some people's opinion, but I it's really just that. And so I really appreciate people's patience and just hopefully this podcast helps people understand that it's just really a tough situation for us to not have that definitive understanding of how we are to plan, and that it's not because we don't care, we're not thinking about it, it's just we don't want to mislead anyone with information that we have to then correct later that's incorrect because we got better information or they told us, so we're just trying to be patient. So
absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Any final message for your all your Hornets out there listening?
I think the most important thing is we just got to stay connected. I mean, even though we're connected, there's a lot of isolation going on, and some of the students that I've been talking to are struggling with that piece of not being able to see their friends. And so I would challenge everybody to connect with somebody. So your classmates, a text, a Zoom meeting, even if it's just for fun. If you're working on projects, work together, you know, do a meeting together so you can see each other's faces. I just think during this time right now, we need to lean on each other more than we ever have. And also the other thing too is realize that our counselors and social workers, they're on standby every day. So, I mean, if there's something that you need to talk about, yeah. make sure you reach out. This is not a time to kind of, stay behind the doors and be quiet. This is the time to actually reach out because we're here actually waiting for those kinds of things. So we just realize that it's important that we stay connected as much as possible. Make sure you're talking to your teachers, make sure you're talking to your counselors, seniors especially. Make sure you're connecting with your counselor. Make sure you're connecting with the teachers that you need to connect with. It's important that you finish this year strong. I mean, in 10 years, we're going to look back and say, you know what? A pandemic didn't stop me from graduating. I worked through it. You know, I mean, I think we need to realize we got a lot of good things going on. We have a lot of support.
Right.
We're more powerful together. And so I think that's the most important thing I could let the Hornets know is, hey, it's we. It's not me. It's we. So let's work together.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Well, Carl, thanks for taking some time to join us for this Zoom podcast. Where we've done a few remote podcasts now, and now this is our first Zoom one. So we're really hopefully using this medium to connect with people ourselves and not to be isolated, because I think that's the hardest thing is we understand social distancing from the scientific reason, but the isolation is what we're all trying to avoid as well, that no one's kind of without information or without connection. And I think that's part of what we're all appreciating about teachers and the effect that they have on school. And so thanks for your leadership and thanks for joining us on Education Buzz.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Yep. We'll talk to you later. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.